personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
The Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast. I am Aaron Feely alone this week. No Dal Erickson along with me or any other of my usual guests, so maybe a little bit of a shorter episode this particular week. But we'll go ahead and jump right into it. Dal's not here to defend himself, so I figured the best way to get things started is to go ahead and pick on him a little bit after he took a 3-point lead over me in the NBA playoff pick'ems. I have clawed all the way back to being down just 1 point. It is 11-10 heading into round two. It's the comeback of the century. I know all of you must be rooting for me. It's simply destiny at this point. I am the lovable underdog that you all choose to cheer for. And speaking of, though Dal is not here with us, he did send me his official picks for round two of the NBA playoffs. So we'll go ahead and jump right on into it. First of all, we've got the Miami Heat taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. This one was pretty easy. Both Dal and I both took the Miami Heat here. The 76ers did finally manage to close the deal on Toronto. It's why I'm actually down my 1 point at this point instead of having come all the way back. I thought Toronto was going to pull a miracle there for a second and give me the 1 point lead heading into this thing after all was said and done. But Philadelphia did manage to hold on. They clung with every last bit of life they had left to knock the Raptors out of this thing. I don't think they do it twice. I assume Dal doesn't either. Miami Heat are a much better team than Toronto is, and Philadelphia did not look good in those final three games of that last series. So both of us taking the Miami Heat, and then we move right in to the Boston Celtics versus the Milwaukee Bucks, and we kind of cheat a little bit here because when the two of us made our picks, these two had already played one game against each other. Game one did go to Milwaukee. Regardless of that, I'm still taking the Boston Celtics. Milwaukee beat my Bulls, Dal's Bulls as well last week, knocked us out of the playoffs. Maybe I'm still bitter about it. Maybe I still just have a giant hate boner for all things Wisconsin related. Who knows? I hate the Bucks. They're my new number one public enemy at this point. But regardless of any of that, I also just don't know that they're better than Boston. I hate them, and I think Boston might be better. It's the old double whammy. Had to pick the Boston Celtics here. Dal went the opposite, though. This is the one series where the two of us have a differing opinion. So if I am going to tie things up heading into the conference finals, this is the series I have to do it with. I need Boston to win, and I'm actually checking the score here, and it looks like Boston did today, as we recorded this, get their revenge victory over the Milwaukee Bucks. So that was a huge boost for Boston to even the series at 1-1. Before that's going to go back to Milwaukee. I've got Boston, Dal's got the Bucks. Root for Boston so that, you know, you can root for me. Root for my epic comeback tale. It will inspire the masses, I can assure you. Both of us did take Phoenix to beat the Dallas Mavericks in that series. Dallas did put away the Utah Jazz, and now there's some friction between the superstars in Utah. That team, man, might be about time to blow that operation up now. We've got not only another disappointing playoff exit for the Jazz, but now we've got your superstars going at it, going at each other's throats here. It is a mess in Utah at the moment, and what's unfortunate is that's not even like a mess like what's happening in Brooklyn, where you at least had that 1 year of potential superstardom coming out of the team. Utah felt like it never really got going in the first place, and now it's already time to blow it up again. Ugh. But anyway, the main point here is that Dallas beat them in the last round, but now they're facing a Phoenix Suns team that's just, it's just far more talented. Now, Phoenix did struggle a little bit with New Orleans. Those feisty Pelicans gave them a little bit of trouble. But I don't see them. Just as last round, Dallas will give them some trouble. Not going to win, though. Phoenix is taking that one. Dal and I both agreeing with that. Dal and I also both agreeing on who their opponent should, in theory, if we are correct, be in the conference final. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies going to Golden State, taking on Steph Curry and the Warriors in what should be a superstar-riddled showdown that's ultimately going to be won by the Golden State Warriors. Or at least that's what Dal and I feel. We've both got Golden State taking that one. I think Golden State will probably win it in 5 or 6 games. I don't know how Dal feels about it. But that's where we stand with the Round 2 NBA Pick'em. I'm down now just 11 points to 10 in that. The comeback is on, ladies and gentlemen. And while we're talking Pick'em, you know we got to do it for all the playoffs, right? It's what we do here on Unsportsmanlike Conduct. Anytime the playoffs roll around and I've been just absolutely nipping to get my teeth sunk into this one, the NHL playoffs are here. They are here. I have often said it, the best playoffs in professional sports. The NHL just puts together such a fantastic tournament year in and year out to determine the best hockey team in the National Hockey League. And this year there's quite a field. My Blackhawks are not in it, unfortunately. They sucked to an extent that seemed inhumanly possible, considering they actually had mildly lofty expectations coming into the year and absolutely crapped the bed in that regard. Ugh. However, there is still hope for these playoffs. If the Minnesota Wild can take it all the way to the conference final, the Blackhawks get a first-round pickback for Marc-Andre Fleury. So go Minnesota. And speaking of, we could talk that one first. Dal taking the St. Louis Blues. He's picking with his head here. The Blues were probably the toughest head-to-head matchup Minnesota could have possibly drawn for round one. Not because I think the Blues are the best team in this tournament. They just have Minnesota's number. They have just dominated Minnesota in these last 3 seasons in head-to-head. And that is really worrisome for me, but I picked with my heart anyway. I said a couple of months ago on this show that Minnesota was my ridiculously early pick to win the Stanley Cup. And you know what? Here they are. They've got a great team. They've got a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame goaltender now, who hopefully is going to net the Blackhawks a first-round pick because of it. And I am gonna go out and I am going to take Minnesota. Now, Minnesota lost game one. I don't care. I'm taking Minnesota anyway. They're coming back, baby. Wild. Moving on to round two. That's what I'm going to go with anyway. Dal and I did agree, however. We're both taking Colorado over the Nashville Predators. And frankly, it might be a sweep. Maybe Nashville lucks into one win. Potentially. Colorado is just unbelievably good. It's unreasonable how much better they are on paper than any other team I'm looking at that's going to be in this turn. Now, obviously, because it's hockey and it's playoff hockey, someone is going to prove that wrong. Someone's going to give them a run for their money. We know it's going to happen sooner or later. Usually, Colorado looks this good, and then they get knocked out anyway, probably in round 2 or 3. It's Avalanche tradition, but right now, and as we're speaking at this exact moment, it's 7-1 Avalanche here in game one, so yeah. Gonna go ahead and take the Avalanche. Dal's doing the same. He is a homer in this one. He does have Colorado's his team, so he's picking with his heart there. And then we'll move right along to the ex Minnesota hockey team, the old Minnesota North Stars, now playing in Dallas, going by just the Stars, are taking on Calgary. Those find a way Flames are not such plucky underdogs anymore. Suddenly, these Calgary Flames are the hulking Goliath in this matchup, and that is why both Dal and I, we're both taking Calgary. Give us the Flames taking on the Dallas Stars. I think that they just have so much talent. It might be their time to finally have a nice stacked deck in their favor. You know, they've been that plucky up-and-coming team for a few years now. Well, finally, they've up-and-come. And here they are. They're the top team of the Western not in the Western Conference, but in the Pacific Division of the Western Conference, they are the top team. Those Calgary Flames are something special. I would love to see them versus Colorado in the Western Conference Finals, but we're just going to have to see how everything plays out there. Also in the Pacific Division, the Edmonton Oilers taking on those pesky Los Angeles Kings, and every time the Kings find a way to sneak into the playoffs, you know you got to look out for them, though they're not the 8 seed this year, so maybe their danger levels have gone down a little bit, but they did take Game 1 against Edmonton, and Dal remembers 2012 and 2014 and what these Kings can do once they sneak their way into the postseason. He's taken the Los Angeles Kings. I'm actually going to, you know what, they can have Game 1. It happened. Oh, well. You just feel like surely Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and the gang, they can't keep choking in Round 1, right? Eventually they're going to get one of these. That's kind of my theory here, I guess. I'm going to pick Edmonton. I'm going with McDavid and the boys to erase that game one deficit. They're down 1-0 in the series. They're going to come back. This is the year McDavid and Draisaitl finally get past round one, and the Oilers are going to win a playoff series this go-round. Mark it down right now. Now, this one might shock some people, but the President Trophy-winning Florida Panthers are taking on my boy Alex Ovechkin. You know I love me some Ovi. And the Washington Capitals. And both Dal and I, according to the pick he sent in earlier, we're both taking the Washington Capitals in this one. That President's Trophy curse. Evidently, we both seem to believe strongly in it, and I also believe strongly in the Capitals' playoff experience. They've been here a number of times, and every year in the NHL playoffs, you get one absolutely shocking upset in round one. It just happens every year. This, to me, is the best chance of it happening. You get the President's Trophy winning Panthers, and they got to take on Ovechkin and the boys. I've got the Capitals winning this one, maybe in... Let's be kind here. We'll give them six games. Six games, Capitals take it. And then we look forward to the Boston Bruins taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. I love me some Boston Bruins. I talk about it a lot on the show. The Boston Bruins are a fun team to watch, especially come playoff time. I unfortunately don't know that we'll get to watch a lot of them. I'm going to say six or seven games. Carolina takes them down. Hurricanes will go on to round two. That's what I'm calling right here and now. Dal's calling the same, moving right along. They're just better. Boston's a fine team. The Hurricanes are just overwhelmingly talented and well-coached. So we're just going to move right along. The Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning, another one where Dal and I differ. The Maple Leafs did take game one. The Maple Leafs, though, notorious postseason choke artists. Ever since televisions could, you know, show these games in color. Toronto, I don't know that they break that here. The Tampa Bay Lightning have back-to-back champions. Do they really just go out with a whimper in round one in their return? Their quest for the three-peat? No, no. I say no, sir. The Tampa Bay Lightning are going to take this one. Dal disagrees. He's got Toronto. He thinks this is the year. He thinks this is when Toronto finally puts it together, pulls their heads out of their butts, and they get a playoff win against a very competent and competitive Tampa Bay Lightning team. I disagree. I think Tampa Bay is going to at least make a mild push to three-peat. I don't think they're going to. I don't even know if they're going to make it to the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference Finals. But you know what? I say they at least put up a fight. They at least threaten initially like they might make a push to three-peat here. Finally, we've got the New York Rangers taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Dal's going Penguins, I'm guessing also for that experience factor. Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang, the whole gang is back. Evgeny Malkin, of course, here. The New York Rangers, it's been a hot minute. It has been a hot minute since the New York Rangers have seen real quality postseason play at Madison Square Garden. But they're going to host this series, And you know what? I am going to take the New York Rangers, a home series. They take it all the way to Game 7. And in Game 7, at the Garden, the New York Rangers will advance themselves to Round 2 of this postseason. That's my prediction as it stands at this moment in time. And we'll see how everything plays out there. Dal and I with a couple of differing opinions for that one. We'll see if I have better round one luck than I did initially for the NBA playoffs. But actually my round one luck was spectacular. It was my stupid play-in luck that was really hosing me there early on. But I came back, as I usually do. I have a talent for this, people. My fantasy football teams usually tank a little bit in the first 4 or 5 games of the season, but I make the playoffs literally every year. It's insane. You never bet against me, ladies and gentlemen. I am the lovable underdog that won't stop fighting in fantasy football. And pick'ems. Moving right along. We're going to head right into my USFL segment of the week. Oh, I'm starting to really love these as the race for not only who's going to win the free t-shirt and hat of my 8-man grouping that each picked a team earlier on in the year. Kyler took Pittsburgh, Kelly took New Jersey, my wife took Michigan, I took New Orleans. We got my father-in-law taking Philadelphia, my father taking Birmingham, my brother with Houston, and I'm leaving somebody out here. Who am I forgetting? And my wonderful mother, who listens to the podcast weekly, took the Tampa Bay Bandits foolishly. An absolute train wreck of a decision, truly, as my New Orleans Breakers took them down 38-3 last week. However, this week, my power ranking standing mostly true yet again. I had Birmingham at 1 and New Orleans at 2. The two last remaining undefeateds went toe-to-toe, and Birmingham won. New Orleans did take our first L of the year, but to be fair, Kyle Sloter was hurt. We had no TJ Logan. The team was banged up. When this team gets healthy again and they have their rematch, mark my words, right here, right now, New Orleans is taking round 2, baby. And then I truly believe we're getting a round 3. These two are going to meet in the Southern Division playoff game up in Canton, Ohio, hopefully without so much Birmingham homerism. Every game's a home game for those Stallions. It's a bit of cheatery, but I'm not bitter or anything. New Orleans, though, once it goes up north, nice even playing field. Round 3 also goes to New Orleans. They take 2 out of 3. They go to the championship game. They're going to beat New Jersey in that championship game. Yes, I said New Jersey. New Jersey is the best team in the North still. That's what I'm telling you. I don't want to hear any more of this, Philadelphia that. My power rankings are the definitive power rankings. Every time I see someone on CBS, Fox Sports, NBC, this, ESPN, Bleacher Report, they're all doing power rankings. They're all trash. My power rankings are the USFL power rankings. Mark mine from last week against any of those. They post them on their Twitter accounts, on their websites. They post them on social media. They're posting them everywhere. Mine, clearly more accurate. Most of them had the Pittsburgh Maulers at 7 and the Michigan Panthers at 8. They had Michigan as the worst team in this league. I believe I had Michigan at 6 last week. And Michigan came out and put a hurting on the Pittsburgh Maulers. Take that, all you other high-branded sports broadcasting companies. None of your power rankings can touch my USFL power rankings. So here are the definitive, objective, entirely correct, non-negotiable power rankings heading into week 4. Birmingham won again. They beat an undefeated team. Yeah, there are some holes in their game. Yes, there are some holes in how they beat New Orleans. I'm going to be the first one to bring up all the excuses you can imagine about it, but the fact of the matter is they won yet again against another of my top 4 teams. They got to stay at number 1. They simply have to. Birmingham number 1. New Orleans didn't fall. They lost to the team that I just said was number one, and they barely lost, and while injured, New Orleans stays at number two. They got a game against the Houston Gamblers coming up this week for week four. I believe they easily win that game. I'm going to say by two possessions, they take it over Houston. New Orleans, number two. At number three, I have the New Jersey Generals. I know they were the very first team to take an L in this league, but they're going to win the North, people. It's going to be them, probably versus Philadelphia. Don't count Michigan out just yet, though. Michigan had a real nice game this week. They play Philadelphia this coming week. That's going to be huge. Michigan versus Philadelphia this coming weekend is going to be huge in potentially determining who's going to get that number two spot in the North for the postseason later on when we get to the postseason. Obviously, two teams from each division making the playoffs. I think it's a no-brainer. Birmingham versus New Orleans. Might as well be the championship game, but it's just going to be the first playoff game from the South North. New Jersey's my lock for number one. Philly and Michigan, they're going to fight it out for number two. I'm going to put Philadelphia just ahead for now, but we shall see. But my number three team right now, actually, no, I said my number three team was New Jersey. My number four team, this was tough. Houston, New Jersey, or Houston and Philly. I kind of, you know, back and forth. I am going to settle on Philadelphia is the new number four team after Houston. And I am not going to put Tampa Bay ahead of Houston. Tampa Bay won. They really had no business doing so. They stole that one from Houston. We all know it. Those of us that watched it. I know it's the USFL. I have a free t-shirt on the line, though, here, people. So, of course, I'm going to watch every game every week. That's just how it is. I'm going to say Philadelphia goes to four just off the premise of Houston taking a really bad L this week. And you know what? While I'm at it, no, I'm not. Houston's going to stay at five. I'm not going to. I like Michigan. I think Michigan takes too much crap from a lot of people. They didn't pass Houston just yet. If they win this week against Philadelphia, then yeah. Yeah, because Houston's taking another L this week, people. They're going down to New Orleans. New Orleans is taking that one. Houston is I'm going to say they're going to beat Michigan, who, by the way, I still have at six for yet another week. But if they don't, all right, now it's panic time. Seven, I've got Tampa Bay. They stole a win against Houston. It might be the last win they steal all year. They'll probably beat... No, they're done playing Pittsburgh. They got their freebie against Pittsburgh. Tampa Bay is probably going 2-8. I'm just going to say it. Jordan Ta'amu, not as good as he was when he was playing in the XFL with the St. Louis Battlehawks. It's been a rough first 3 weeks for Jordan Ta'amu. Tampa Bay is not very good, and the only team worse than them is my number 8 team, and that's the Pittsburgh Maulers. Pittsburgh's going to go 0-10. If they win a game this year, I will make sure to have a whole segment about it on this show. We can mock me. We can call it the Aaron is an idiot segment of the week. Pittsburgh is atrocious, and the race is on for who's going to come in last and have to buy the free t-shirt for the champion, which will be me. New Orleans is taking the chip, by the way. Right now, Kyler in a heap of trouble. His team 0-3 and not looking like there's too many prospects. They already lost to Tampa, who was probably their best bet at getting a win. They tried to put up a fight against another 0-2 Michigan team. They get another crack at them later, but they did take a bad L to Michigan. Pittsburgh is in some deep trouble right now. So, yeah, that's the USFL Power Rankings heading into Week 4. 1-8, baby. That's the objectively correct, absolutely unquestionable, definitive USFL Power Rankings heading into Week 4. It goes Birmingham, New Orleans, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Houston, Michigan, then you got Tampa and Pittsburgh all the way down at number 8. We're going to move right on along, and we got to talk about the NFL draft. Dal and I hyped it up every week going into the draft, and then the Bears did not even get a wide receiver in the second round. Which hurt a lot at first. George Pickens was right there. I was so mad when we took Kyler Gordon instead of him, who actually was. He and Andrew Booth were the two consensus on depending on who you asked, they were the one and two. They flip-flopped on a lot of the different types of rankings, depending on which expert's list it was, that were still available on day two, I should say. So fine, you get a skilled, physical cornerback, good. But I felt like helping Justin Fields was really more the bigger need, until the video leaked of George Pickens physically assaulting a mentally challenged student on campus. And then I guess I can see why we would pass on him with 2 second-round picks. We ended up getting Velus Jones Jr. out of Tennessee in round 3 as the sole wide receiver drafted by Ryan Poles in his first draft. But here's the funny thing about that. Evidently, the reports are Ryan Poles showed Justin Fields film on several of the receivers that were going to be available on day two and asked Justin Fields to help him decide who Justin would rather throw to, and Velus Jones was Justin Fields' choice. So that was not, theoretically a Ryan Poles decision there. He delegated which receiver we were going to take to Fields. And that is fascinating to me. I mean, you know, there's all that news about everything Green Bay is doing to irritate their star quarterback. Aaron Rodgers can't get a word in with management to save his life. And Ryan Poles comes out and he gives Justin Fields free rein to say, hey, what wide receiver should we draft in round 3? Justin Fields, the second-year quarterback. Wild stuff. And I kind of love it. Not as much as I love our 7th-round pick, though. He kind of went viral, at least around Chicago. Everyone has fallen in love with 7th-round safety out of Cal, Elijah Wilkes, for his social media posts following getting drafted. You'll have to look it up yourself. It's on his Twitter. There's one where he gets so excited, he literally loses words and just drops down and starts doing push-ups. High energy guy. He's entertaining. You should look him up at some point. I'm looking over my shoulder here. The Avalanche just took game 1. It is official over Nashville. So Dal and I were off to a 1-0 start in that series. Both of us took Colorado. So that's quality. Some other parts of the draft, I'll speak on Dal's behalf. They took Jahan Dotson, who I hyped up. I had him as my number 5 wide receiver in the draft. I was actually at Dal's draft party when that pick went down, and he said, who? And I have never been so insulted in my life. I talk on this podcast every week. Put in the comments down below, hashtag, come on, Dal. You gotta listen. You just gotta. I've been hyping up Jahan Dotson just a little bit. He ended up falling to Washington. I think Washington got a really quality wide receiver with that one. Could you say quality of pick? Maybe not. He was about the 5th best receiver in the draft, and you'd take him in round 1. Now, granted, this was a very wide receiver talent heavy draft. You know, but you'd like to be able to wait to get value there, but wide receivers were going too quick. So you had to pull the trigger. Take one while it was there. And there he was, Jahan Dotson. Of course, Green Bay, the big story, not taking a wide receiver in the first round. I was so ready to laugh and laugh and laugh at them yet again. And then they traded up in round 2 and took Christian Watson. And that hurt. Because I was kind of hoping he was going to fall to 39 and the Bears were going to get Christian Watson. Ugh. But I guess you can't have everything. He's certainly a downgrade still from Devontae Adams. So that is good for us NFC North non-Packer fans. The rest of us are all Packer haters, by the way. That's just how it works. Those are the rules. I don't make them. It's like, you know, everyone that's not a Cowboys fan in the NFC East, you hate the Cowboys. It's what you do. That's how the NFC North works, all right? You got to deal with it. That and my personal brand of hatred for the entire state of Wisconsin sports. But I'm sure I've never talked about that before. Sorry if that shocked anybody. Yeah. Talking about Green Bay going all defense in the first round, but then getting Watson in round two, ruining all of my laughter. You truly hate to see it. We'll also talk a little bit about the Jacksonville Jaguars going with Walker, number one overall. Aiden Hutchinson was right there. Oh, he was right there, and you let the Lions have him. Oh, Jacksonville. Oh, you idiots. This is why you have picked first overall in the draft in back-to-back seasons, and you'll probably be picking top three again next year. You go and you spend $100 billion or whatever it was on Christian Kirk, who is at best a solid wide receiver three, certainly not worth wide receiver one cash that you paid him. And then you do this, number one overall. Oh, Jacksonville. I want to love you. You got Trevor Lawrence. You're going to waste Trevor Lawrence if you keep doing stuff like that. Not that Walker's bad. Walker should have been a top 15 pick. Not number one. Probably not even number two. Aiden Hutchinson was there. Sauce Gardner probably would have even been a better pick. You could have gone Evan Neal and just protected Trevor Lawrence for a bit if you wanted. Or you can, you know, take the second or third best pass rusher in the draft, number one overall in the draft. Just wild stuff. Absolutely wild out of Jacksonville. We'll see how it pans out. Maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe Jacksonville will prove me to be an idiot, and Trevon Walker will be a superstar generational edge rusher. Or maybe Aiden Hutchinson's going to get 10-plus sacks in about 8 seasons or so, and he'll be another one of them players that Detroit loves to waste. I do enjoy when they do that, except for that one player tends to, you know, single-handedly beat the Bears once or twice every couple of years. It's very frustrating, but what can you do? Looking like a rebuild year for the Bears, but I will say this. The defense, all of a sudden, don't sleep on that Chicago defense this upcoming year. They really revamped that secondary. No Khalil Mack, obviously, but Robert Quinn. Going to be an increase in snaps for Trevis Gibson. I think that could be kind of big for him. He had a pretty decent year in a rotational role last year. Now he'll be called upon to really step up and be a serviceable starter, and I think he'll go above and beyond that. We should have a very good secondary with Jalen Johnson across from Kyler Gordon at the cornerback spots. You're going to have Brisker and Jackson back there at safety. And us Bears fans are all rooting for Elijah Wilkes to find his way onto the football field, make a couple of plays. He's just such a fun guy. He is such a fun dude to watch on social media. And I told you this might be a shorter episode. I'll probably be wrapping up here just shortly after I do talk about, because I have to. It's crosstown rivalry time, folks. I'm a Chicago guy. I'm a White Sox fan. Game one was earlier today. The White Sox go to Wrigley Field, and we beat the Cubs in game one of a 2-game crosstown series. 3-1. Michael Kopech pitched 4 innings and was mad. He was furious when they pulled him from that game. Kopech obviously has absolute flamethrower attached to his right shoulder. He can really throw some stuff, let me tell you. His problem has always been how long he can really go in games. His stamina's not, you know, the greatest. Though it felt a little bit like he could have gone longer than 4 innings today. He was carving up the Cubs. Didn't matter, though. He left. White Sox bullpen came in. It's one of the better bullpens in baseball right now. And the White Sox have finally remembered that they're actually decent at baseball. They've kind of kicked that 8-game skid they had. They look like the season's beginning White Sox, kind of what we thought the White Sox would be coming into the year again over the last 4 or 5 games. They come out today, 3-1 victory. Tim Anderson hit his 4th home run of the game, took one opposite field in the rain. A game in which no one could get the ball in the air and drive it. 24-mile-an-hour winds and rain pouring down on Wrigley. And Tim Anderson still drove home put up his 4th homer of the year. Tim Anderson's having quite a start here. After he was having quite a dry spell there during that 8-game skid too, and he's bounced back incredibly. You know, since the Angels series started, Tim Anderson has been unstoppable. We'll see if he can keep that rolling. And that might just do it for this week. About a half episode coming this week from the Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast. You got all of our picks for the NHL and NBA playoffs. My thoughts on the NFL draft situation, the USFL's current standings and definitive power rankings. And, of course, had to talk a little bit about my crosstown rivalry victory today. Well, yesterday, for those of you listening to this. Today, the White Sox will play the Cubs for Game 2 of that series, and the White Sox are off a day and will play the Boston Red Sox over the weekend. For the entire SVI Media crew and Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast, I have been Aaron Feely. See you all next time.